Here's Shannon.
I'm super excited to be here today for many reasons. One, I wanted to correct something that Pastor Arby said last week. Because when he recognized Brielle for her win, it was like, oh, she won District 2. I'm like, but you didn't explain what that meant. So I want to and go back first and say what that meant was, not only did she win for our entire area, she was then promoted to the next section. And the next section was McCall to Coeur d'Alene. All of the elementary schools that were able to participate, that's who she beat out for third place. So that's huge. That's a lot of kids who had an opportunity to enter. But Brielle's not our only brilliant writer in the Shound family, because we have a new book written by an author that we know so well, Pastor Arby Shound.
Thank you, Shannon.
And I am super excited because I got mine already. You too can order your books off of Amazon. But I want to ask Pastor Arby a couple questions first.
This is getting embarrassing, Shannon.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm here for, buddy.
Thanks, pal.
So, Meet My Bob, Meet My Friend Bob, was written by Pastor Arby Shound, and it was illustrated by our one and only Zoe Shound. But the questions I have for you, Pastor Arby, and I brought my copy so I can get it signed. So if you all want to order yours this week, maybe you can bring them next week to get them signed. Maybe you'll have a whole line of
maybe.
Us. Maybe. Selway will. She'll sign. Anyway, Pastor Arby, what made you decide to write this book?
It was actually inspired by a dream that the Lord gave me. So I woke up in the middle of the night with the dream about this book. Yeah. And begin writing down all the notes and what it was about.
Who is it about?
Who's it about? It is about my late friend, Bob. And what an inspiration he was. He didn't tell me I would need tissue for this. Yeah, a very dear friend of mine that passed away almost 4 years ago now. And this is what an inspiration he was to the community and those around him. And so it's his legacy book dedicated to him on the forward there.
Yeah. It's not just a normal, boring book. It's not just a children's
book.
I'm
not an author by choice.
You're not.
It would take a dream from God to get me to write a book.
Yay for obedience. Will you write more books?
If God gives me one.
So did you cast the vision with Selway on the characters, or did she come up with them on her own?
I gave her pretty vague general ideas. I wanted little monsters. She would always draw these little monsters and tuck notes in my Bible over the years. And so I was talking with my publisher and like, well, who's going to do the illustrations? And one of the little notes happened to be sitting there on our coffee table, and I was like, Selway, her little monsters, that would be perfect for the book. So yeah, I gave her pretty free rein to illustrate as she saw fit.
And do you feel like they matched what you had, the vision in your head?
Absolutely, yeah.
Maybe that's God.
She did pretty awesome.
She did. My personal question, which I have asked you since I first learned about this project, when do we get our merch?
Our merch.
We all want a Bob shirt, right?
I have not thought about any merch yet.
I've been bugging him.
We could have little Bob hats next year.
Bob hats. So I want you to see, and you guys can come up at the after church if you want to look at this. I'll leave this. I'll have it with me if you want to check it out. But like I said, you can order it on Amazon.com. I ordered mine Wednesday and I got it Friday. So you have time to get it for Christmas. Bring it next weekend. Pastor Arby can sign it. Selway maybe possibly will sign it. And yeah, meet his friend, Bob.
Thanks, Shannon. That was not in my notes. We're in the season of Advent, the expectation or the awaiting of someone or something great to come. Have you been awaiting for Christ to show up in your life daily? Do you await his presence? Or do you just kind of go about life and bump into him once in a while? Just like, here he is, there he is. Do you acknowledge his presence in your life? Maybe that's better. Christ is with us. Today's title, we've talked about Jesus came to us. Jesus came for us. Today is Jesus came with us. Do you know he is with you each and every day? He is with you always. Are you inviting him along in your decisions, your choices, your journey of life? Time out, Jesus. I'm going to make a few bad decisions today. You can't come. Anybody hit the pause button? Hopefully you're inviting him into your everyday situations. But Jesus came with us, the advent of joy. Jesus with us should bring joy. Some 700 years or so-ish before Jesus arrived as a baby in the manger, the prophet Isaiah was prophesying the Messiah to come, the baby that would be born of a virgin lying in a manger. 700 years, the people were in Advent, awaiting this Messiah that would come and save the world. Aren't you glad we're on the other side of that? We get to experience that he came for us, he came to us, and now he's coming with us. Coming with us is past, present, and future. He's not just in this moment, but he's been in our moments up to today. He's with us today, and we have a whole future to look forward to being with him, not only on this earth, but also for eternity. Christ with us, Emmanuel. Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 and 23. Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. I hope you're experiencing Christ with you. I hope you're journeying with Christ in your life. Have you ever taken a journey all alone? Just thought, man, I wish my spouse was with me. Man, I wish my best friend was with me. Man, I wish my kids were with me. Anybody ever been there all alone? Like, I just wish XYZ was with me. Wish my favorite hunting dog was with me. It's not always people for some people. I wish. The good news is we don't have to wish Jesus to be with us. It says, I came to be with you. I came to be in your presence. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. A little bit of the foretelling of Jesus to come. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. This is a great name of titles, of attributes, but it's a little troubling. I think. Why do we need a Prince of Peace? Because in this world, we will have trouble, is what Jesus tells us. To need a Prince of Peace means there's going to be some troubling days ahead. One of the biggest misconceptions and lies that the devil would try to get us to believe is that when we serve Jesus or choose Jesus, like life is just joyous and wonderful beyond that, and it's perfect. Because when we believe that, then when we have a bad day, we start to doubt, and we start to think, maybe Jesus doesn't love me. Maybe Jesus isn't with me. Maybe Jesus isn't real. But Jesus warns us, tells us of the troubles we will have, of the hardship we will have, but he promises to be with us through it and endure with us, to carry us even sometimes. So the government will be on his shoulders. Do you know the government is established on the shoulders of Christ and not just the great American government, but the government of this world? The sun, the moons, and stars that govern the day and the night, that government is upon his shoulders. His everlasting principles and promises, the government of that is upon his shoulders. His governing providence of sowing and reaping is on Christ's shoulders. It's much greater than what we would think about as most Americans, the government. But the government is established and ordained by God, and it is upon Christ's shoulders. His everlasting promises are true. He is our wonderful counselor. Why do you think we need a wonderful counselor? Because there's going to be days ahead that we have decisions we need to make, and we don't have the wisdom or the knowledge for them. And we need to rely on the Holy Spirit and his counsel or guidance to lead us through those situations in those moments. Christ is our wonderful counselor. He came with us to bring us counsel. I hope that you apply his guidance and counsel to your life. You can wing it on your own and do decent and make some good decisions, but you can apply Christ to your situation. Invite the Holy Spirit and his wisdom and guidance, and you can have a lot better time in life. You can make a lot better decisions. He is our mighty God. What do you think of when you hear mighty God? I see a warrior dressed in full armor with a shield and a sword. Somebody who's fighting, standing in the gap for me. Why would I need a mighty God? Because there is a Satan in hell warring for my soul, warring for my eternity. He would like to take me out of God's army and place me into his. He would like to kill, steal, and destroy everything about me. But I have a mighty God who sits on the throne, who is fighting for me. He is with me. Everlasting Father. Do you know sometimes you just need a father? Sometimes for guidance and a rebuke, a little direction. Sometimes just that tender, loving care, that strength that envelops you and says, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. He promises to be with us as an everlasting father, taking care of our needs, meeting our needs. And he knows, even as amazing as our earthly fathers may be, they're still going to fail us and fall short at some point. And we still have God, Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit, to lean upon. About 10 or 12 years ago, I was guiding a bear hunt on the Locksaw River. I was taking my guest out, which was a rather difficult task because he was Bulgarian and spoke zero words of English. He could say bear by the end of the week. So once we left the lodge and headed upriver for about an hour, hour and a half drive, there's not a lot of conversation going on because I don't speak Bulgarian, he doesn't speak English. So we're just driving in silence, and once we leave the interpreter at the lodge, it's kind of scary. You're in the woods and can't communicate with someone who has a loaded firearm, it's a little intense. So we get to the bear bait and we're sitting there, and I forget which evening of the hunt it was. We're sitting there, all of a sudden this bear shows up, and it was a nice red bear. I tap him on the shoulder and I'm like, K-k-k. He's like, oh, and he starts to scramble, and I'm like, whoa, whoa, settle, because the bear's like 30 yards from us. It's like, take it easy, like telling him quiet. So the bear wanders on, he gets up by the bait, which is about 50 yards away, and he gets ready, and boom, he shoots, and the bear drops, and he's celebrating, and I'm going, shoot again, I'm like showing him reload, shoot again, trying to give him sign language, you know, and he's like, he's dead, you know, and we got him, and I'm like, no, shoot again, and because as a guide, I've seen a lot of animals taken, and when an animal drops an impact, I'm not excited. So it's either really good or really bad. It's going to go one of two ways. It's 50-50 at best. And you either like took him out and he's done, or he's temporarily done and he's going to get up and run off. So while he and I are having our sign language argument, like the bear gets up and poof, he's like, I have no idea what he's saying. What happened to the bear? Where'd he go? I thought he was dead, I'm sure is what it translated to. Now I'm like, no. And we can hear the bear crashing off through the woods. And of course, now we have a guy in the woods with a loaded gun that I can't communicate with. We now have a wounded bear in the woods. The bears are pretty afraid of you until they're wounded. But I'm sure in his mind somewhere he had a dream of what this bear hunt was going to be like. And yeah, we're going to go to America and go to this fancy lodge and go out in the woods and shoot a bear, then we'll bring the bear back. Yay, fun story. But he got a little bit of a different experience. Sometimes we have that expectation with God. We hear what it's going to be like if I give my life to Christ and what it's going to be like if I serve Jesus. And it's going to be wonderful and joyous and amazing. And then all of a sudden life happens and takes a hard turn left or right. An unforeseen circumstance or situation happens in our life. And it's at this point we're tested. Do you really believe what you say? Do you really trust your guide, your counselor, your everlasting Father? It's in those moments that we get to see what we're really made out of, what we really believe. So I'm trying to communicate with my guest at this point, what's going to happen? It's pretty tough to do. So I'm like, you, me, like we're following the bear. And so like as we're going along, I'm showing him sign, I'm showing him the blood, the tracks, and kind of what's happening. And after tracking the bear for a little ways, exactly what I suspected happened. He hit him high in the ribs, which tweaked his back, which temporarily paralyzed him. So like as we're tracking him, he would be on all fours, and then pretty soon he would be on his front legs, dragging his back end. And then he would be on all fours, and I've tracked several bears like this, so I know what's happening. Like when he steps wrong, his back pinches, he's paralyzed again. And when he hits something else, it corrects, and then he's up and walking again. It's like self-chiropractic, I think. So this bear could be two-legged or four-legged when we catch up to him. So it goes on, and we track about a mile and a half around the hill. Night is setting in, it's getting dark, and everything blobby and black is looking like a bear, and every crack and snap is like a bear coming at us, and he's getting more like, every noise is like, whoa, whoa, and I'm like, calm down. Like, at this point, I have him beside me, because I no longer want him behind me. Yeah, it's just hairy. So we're tracking and still moving, and it's getting dark. And we get around into this creek bottom. We're going up the creek bottom, and there's this big log about this big. And I'm like, well, maybe if I get on top of the log, I can see. And I jump up on the log, and in that same moment, I say, bear! And the bear's right there, and he's coming up over the log at me. And so I'm pulling my handgun out and shooting as I'm jumping off the log, and then he shoots right past me, and it was intense and frightening and scary. I was more afraid of the gun than the bear, just so we're clear. Because I know he's somewhere back here, and the bear's here, and I'm here. So it was intense. It was frightening, and it's like when I shot, like flames are coming out of my handgun. It was like that kind of dark. Not quite headlamp dark yet, but because if you turn those on, then you lose all your night vision, then it gets a lot worse. So it was intense. And he's like at the end of his rope. He's like, you, me, he's like, we're out of here. And I'm like, no, we have to take care of the bear. I'm trying to like, all the bear has to go in my pack. We got to take it. And he's like, yeah, you, me. Of course, he has no idea where we're at. We've wandered around the woods for 2 hours, around ridges and into creek bottoms and around ridges, and he has no idea where we're at. We could be 100 miles from nowhere as far as he's concerned. I know exactly where we're at and exactly how to get to the truck. But he had to put a lot of faith in me, and we argued about, finally he's like, just cut the head off, we'll just take the head. And I'm like, no, we have to take the meat, the hide, all of it has to go. So we sat in the dark and processed, and he stood on guard the whole time and was very nervous and shining his light all around. Sometimes in our spiritual walk, it gets like this. What we expect for it to be like walking with Christ. And sometimes when our expectations aren't met, we give up. We redirect. We say, maybe this isn't real. Maybe this isn't God. Maybe I'm just crazy. Maybe. And we tell ourselves a different story. But as we look on through the passages today, Christ promises to be with us. So when we were on the mountain and that whole story was going on, I didn't have all the pieces filled in. When we got back to the lodge and talked with the interpreter, then I got filled in on the story that he was terrified, scared to death, trapped in the woods with this crazy man from America. And that's when I got to fill in all the pieces that I was pretty sure he wanted to leave the bear, but he's like, yeah, I didn't care about the bear anymore. I just wanted to have the woods. Sometimes it's like that in our walk with God, and we just have to trust that the Holy Spirit, the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ, has our best future in mind, has our best plan of action in mind. And even when we can't see out, even when it doesn't look like it's going to work out, even when it looks impossible or very different than we first thought it might, that's when our trust comes into play and say, Lord, I trust you. I don't see how this is ever going to come together. I don't see how Arby is ever going to write a book. Okay? English was my worst subject. I'm a little bit dyslexic. Reading and writing are not easy for me. But it would take God to place a book inside of me and to draw it out. I still had to go through the work and the process and make the phone calls and the appointments and get the idea that he had given me in the dream onto paper and organize it and plan it. I still had to do my part, but it's with what he entrusted to me. Some things don't seem possible, but with our God, all things are possible because he is with us. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. This is talking about the restoration of the remnant of Israel in this passage. Aren't you glad that God comes with us to restore us? And when God with us is not far off. If we look at the text in this passage, like it's all about God being here with us, immediately accessible in our presence, Not something we heard about or read about, but with us. It says the very thing, God is with us. It says he will save us. Do you have to be pretty close to someone to save them? It would not help you if you're drowning on the reservoir right now. I'm not going to save you from here. I need to be with you. God is with you. No matter what you're going through, he is with you. And he is the restorer of all things. God delights in you. What do you take delight in? Waking up in Idaho every morning? Yeah. I do. But you have to be in the presence of something to take delight in it. I really like good food. I delight in eating good food. But I have to be in the presence of good food to enjoy it. I can't do it from afar. I can talk about eating good food. I can say I like to eat good food, but I take delight when I take that bite and those flavors go and the textures go. It's with me. God loves you. Do you know that God loves you so much that he wants to be with you? And God rejoices over you. That's amazing to me, to think that God rejoices over me. He's so delighted with us. He loves us so much. He rejoices over us. To rejoice over something or someone, you have to be in the presence of. Do you understand how close God is to you? Do you experience that in your life? Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do you know how many times in the Bible it says, don't be afraid, do not fear? It's a lot. I don't have an exact number for you today. I'm sure somebody will Google it and tell me. God tells us over and over, do not fear, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Like, there's going to be some things in life that we're going to have to face that will cause fear to grip our hearts and minds. God warns us. He says, you're going to face some stuff. You're going to get that call from the doctor that says you're terminal. You're going to get that call. Your loved one has been in an accident. You're going to get that call. Whatever, that is going to instill fear into you if you allow. God tells us, do not fear, for I am with you. He prepares us, and he says, I'll go with you in those moments. Anybody ever have a fear moment? I've had a couple. Okay, more than a couple. But it's what we do in those moments. I love the acronym of fear. Is fear is false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. Fear. God says, I'll walk with you through it. I'll be with you in the troubles, in the trials, in the suffering, in the pain. I'll be with you. Don't fear. Don't be hopeless. Don't be distressed. Don't be horrified. Other words for dismayed. That says, man, we're going to face some stuff. Life's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be candy canes and tinsel on the trees. There's going to be some days that are going to test you to the core. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. What's your bad day on a bear hunt? What's an expectation you had of how it's going to turn out, and it was way different? And you needed to pause in that moment and trust. God, you said you'd be with me. You said I'd be okay. Rest in God's strength in those moments. He says he will strengthen us, he will help us, he will uphold us by his mighty right hand. He says he will carry us. That's a desire of being very close in proximity to you and I. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8, Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Joshua at this point is succeeding Moses, getting ready to lead the children of Israel. He's got a big duty ahead of him, crossing the Jordan into the promised land, fighting the battles that they're about to engage in. What is your daunting day? The battles you're about to engage in. But if Satan has his way, he'll instill fear. He'll instill worry. But God says, don't worry, I'm with you. I will go before you, I will go with you, I will not leave you, I will not forsake you. It's in those hard moments of life we have to remember this. It's easy to enjoy God's presence when everything's going great. Say, Jesus loves me, life's good, I'm blessed. How about when you're in your mess, when you're getting ready to cross the Jordan and engage in battles, take over the promised land? God will go before you and with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Christ wants you to know he is with you. He is for you, no matter what you're facing. There's a story in the book of Daniel, chapter 3, the fiery furnace story, the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They've already been taken as captives from their country and brought into the service of a foreign evil king, Nebuchadnezzar. So they're already enslaved. They're already exiles, working for a king they don't want to. And he puts out this decree: everyone must serve me and my gods, the idols I build, or else they'll be thrown into the furnace. And they would blow certain instruments certain times a day, which meant you had to bow down to the idols. And they look around, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego aren't bowing down. And they're like, hey, we got to throw these guys in the furnace. Like, that's the law. We made the law, has to happen. So Nebuchadnezzar comes to them and says, hey, what's going on? You guys aren't bowing down? And they said, no, we only bow to one God, the Lord God Almighty. He says, all right, we're going to have to tie you up and throw you in then. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 through 18, I didn't give them this one, so you won't see it on the screen. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 through 18, this is their reply. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Like, hey, we have total trust in God, but even if he doesn't rescue us, we still will not serve your gods. They're faced with the fiery furnace. This infuriates King Nebuchadnezzar. He says, all right, make the fire 7 times hotter. Stoke it up. And then he gets some of his strongest soldiers to bind these 3 men, tie them up, and throw them into the furnace. And the Word of God tells us that the fire was so hot, those who threw them in died because of heat exposure. And in a few moments, King Nebuchadnezzar looks in the fire and he asks his officials, he goes, wait, didn't we throw 3 men in the fire? They say, yes. He goes, well, I see 4. He looks again and is like, yeah, the fourth one looks like the Son of Man. He says, hey, guys, you okay in there? I said, yeah. We're just walking around in the fiery furnace. And the Word of God tells us that they came out of the furnace without a singed hair, without even the hint of a smell of smoke upon them. This is what it can be like when we're walking with God. It might look impossible. It might look like there's no way out. But you know, we serve the God who the government of the laws of physics is upon his shoulders. The laws of physics don't tell Christ what to do. Christ tells the laws of physics what to do. And we walk with him. We walk under his authority, his counsel, his guidance, and the impossible becomes possible. I saw a quote this week. A gal posted on her Facebook page. She's probably watching today. She said, you say it's impossible for me. All I see is I'm possible. Impossible spells I'm possible. That's how it is when we walk with our God. What's your fiery furnace day that you're facing that looks impossible, looks like there's no way out? Maybe it's in relationship, maybe it's in finances, maybe it's in whatever, whatever. What are you facing today that looks like a fiery furnace? Say, man, God, I need you to walk with me through this. God, I need to come out, and I know you can make it so I don't even smell a hint of smoke when I get through this. We serve an amazing God. I want to close today with the reading of the poem, Footprints in the Sand. One night, a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed 2 sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only 1 set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times of his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there was only 1 set of footprints. I don't understand why when I needed you most, you would leave me. The Lord replied, my son, my precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only 1 set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. By Mary Stevenson. Emmanuel, Christ with us. He is always with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. Sometimes we choose to go our own way, out of his will, out of his promises. But his promise is true and everlasting. His promise is, I will never leave you or forsake you. In the hard times, in the difficult times, in the enduring times, I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will carry you. Those are his promises. He does not promise us a bed of roses. He does promise us peace that surpasses all understanding. He does promise us joy that is unspeakable. I hope you've experienced the unspeakable joy of the Lord in your life, because it's amazing. I have on several occasions. It's like, I should not be feeling this good for what's going on, but I have the joy of the Lord inside of me. And it's pretty cool. Those are his promises to stand on. God, I'm going to gut it out. I'm going to get through this because I know your promise says you will not leave me. You will not forsake me. And even though I can't see how this bear hunt's going to turn out, I'm going to trust you to get me back to the truck. I'm back to dinner tonight. Put your trust in the Lord God Almighty, because he came as Emmanuel, God with us. He is with you. He is for you. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your love, your graciousness, God, your goodness toward us. And God, we thank you for your promises that say you will never leave us, you will never forsake us, God, that you are always there for us on our behalf. God, standing in the gap, petitioning for us. And Father, we thank you. And God, we just ask that you would use us, God, to be a light to the world around us, God, that we would bring your peace, God, that we would bring your joy, God, wherever we would go. God, that we would make the world a better place for those, God, who experience life with us. God, that through experiencing life with us, God, they would have a taste of your goodness, of who you are. God, that they would choose your free gift of salvation. Father, we thank you for this. God, we give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We serve an amazing God.